disgusted. Do you hear me? I'm sick. That's the poorest half of football I've seen in all my years of coaching, and I have seen some crummy football, believe you me. What the hell is the matter with you? This team looks to you for leadership, for inspiration. You don't deserve to wear that uniform. My face isn't down there by your shoes. Look at me when I'm talking to you. You're supposed to be helping me out there. Let's get your head in the ball game and start doing something to help us win. Do your job, for God's sake!
Hello, I'm Mary Hart. Who is the man behind this door? He's Hayden Fox, coach of the Minnesota State Screaming Eagles, who this year led a young, unranked team to an undefeated season and the national championship. Tonight, we'll meet the man, relive some of the past highlights from his life, and find out, if we can, what goes on inside that mind of his as I go one-on-one with the coach, Hayden Fox. Although Hayden Fox was born in Indiana, he grew up in the area around Spokane, Washington. He received a scholarship to play football in college, but it was his love and feel for coaching that caught the eye of his mentors. After stops in such places as Chattanooga, Sedalia, and Akron, his coaching path led to Minnesota State, where in 8 years he's turned an almost non-existent football program into a national powerhouse. During the off-season, this is where you're most likely to find Hayden Fox, on the bank of this picturesque lake, relaxing and doing what he loves most, fishing. Mind if I join you?
Hey, Mary, come on in here. Have a seat.
I love the great outdoors.
You fish?
I'd love to try.
Well, this is my grandfather's rod. He gave it to me when I was 11 years old, and some of the happiest times I can remember were spent fishing with this rod. Here, you just put this little button down there.
Okay.
And put your thumb on the line, and then bring the rod back, and bring it forward. That's it. Bring it forward as fast as you can, let it go.
Oh, no!
Oh, jeez!
Well, you said let it go.
Yeah, okay, well, it's my fault.
I'm really just so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, that does it for fishing. You want to go up the cabin?
Sure. Do you hate me?
No.
Is there any way I can make it up to you?
No.
The next stop was Hayden's cabin, his refuge from the fans and the frenzy that are a part of the everyday life of a successful college football coach. I understand that you wrote a book this year containing a lot of your personal philosophy.
Yeah, the publisher asked me to dig deep and talk about everything I could think of, and that's why the book came out to be close to 100 pages.
What is the Hayden Fox philosophy? Can you sum it up for us?
Sure I can. I just have a feeling my philosophy may be something only men can relate to.
Christine Hunt, you are a very smart person, but you're also a woman. And sometimes those two things just fight each other. Let me explain something to you about guys. See, when Luth and I are talking about cars and trucks, we go to a special place. Yeah, it's not located on any map. It's located right here. Right here. It's called Men's Town.
Men's Town?
Yeah, that's right. Capital M, capital T, Men's Town.
I'd love to see this place.
Well, you can't. You can't. See, because it's where men go to hunt with their bare hands and talk about chainsaws, where no one ever asks, does this make my butt look too big? But what are you thinking? Because in Men's Town, we're always thinking the same thing. Isn't that right, Luth?
Uh-huh.
We're always thinking, man, I'd love a great big juicy steak.
Yeah. And then when we were younger in Boys Town, it was a hamburger.
Right.
And you talk with your mouth full there, too.
Look, my point is, there is trust and friendship between men. There's no deals going south. There's no lawyers there. There's only real men.
And a few good dogs.
I think you've both lost your minds. Or in Men's Town, do you all just share one?
Do you think you speak for the average American male?
Well, I don't know, but I do know there's been a lot of this so-called male bashing going on, and sometimes I think it goes too far. I mean, men may not be as sensitive as women, but maybe that's a good thing.
Where's your heart?
Oh, please. Don't start with this men have no hearts things. Men's hearts are just as big as women's.
Bigger in Olympic years.
Well, we don't let our hearts control our lives.
Maybe you should once in a while. Maybe the world would be a better place.
Well, and it pains me to have to say this, but I know it's not a popular theory. That is why you do not see Americans rushing to elect a woman president.
Why?
Well, because you people let your hearts control your heads. With a man in power, you never have to worry about their heads being connected to anything.
You know, you're right, Hayden.
All right, finally. One for our side.
Do you really think of it as sides, men versus women?
Well, I don't know if it's that, but I do think that men and women have had their traditional roles for hundreds of years, and now those roles are changing, and anytime there's change, there's bound to be confusion and a few hurt feelings along the way.
I can't believe in this day and age you're feeling insecure because I make more money than you.
Well, it's not just me. Any man would in any day and any age, honey.
This is ridiculous.
This is not ridiculous. Oh, sweetheart. Oh, no. This is basic biological male-female stuff. This goes back to the beginning of people. This is all about the male primitive instinct to go out and kill something and drag it back to the hut so you can feed your family. You sure as hell don't want to come home to your hut and find out that your wife has dragged in something bigger.
Oh, my God, Hayden. We don't live in the Stone Age anymore.
Maybe you don't, but I do.
And yet you and Christine have a very successful relationship. How do you account for that?
Well, basically, I figured out the secret of marriage. It's all about freedom. Every married guy has got to feel like he's got some, because if he doesn't, he'll go crazy. He's going to be like a caged animal.
Oh, God, I'm in prison!
What?
Ever since Judy and I got engaged, we're constantly doing stuff together, and I like it, but sometimes I feel trapped, like I don't have my freedom anymore, like I never will again.
Well, Tom, you know, that's normal for a guy when he first gets engaged.
It is?
Sure, because it's true. Those days of laying around in your underwear all weekend or eating the same frozen dinner every night for a year, gone.
My God, what's left?
Not that bad. Stuff you don't get to do gets mainly replaced by other stuff.
Like what?
Well, mainly the stuff she wants to do. But you keep doing some of the stuff she wants to do, eventually you get to do some of the stuff you want to do, see? It's called give and give and give and take.
I want a motorcycle.
A motorcycle? Boy, see, you're going to have to give and give and give and give and give and give and give for that.
Since when have you wanted a motorcycle?
Well, it's kind of been a dream of mine all my life, but mostly I've wanted one since Saturday. See, Judy and I, we spent the day shopping for stemware, and on our way out of the last store, we just happened to go past this little motorcycle shop. And there was this incredible bike in the window. It just grabbed me. It was beautiful. And then Judy grabs me. She says,
"Don't you even think about it."
It was like I was with my mother. Well, now I want one more than ever.
Then you should get one.
What about Judy? She'd never forgive me.
Dobber, don't you see what Judy has done? She's forced you into buying it.
She has?
Dob, if you don't get that motorcycle now, you're going to resent Judy for the rest of your life. It's going to fester inside of you until one day it finally explodes. And when it does, it's going to take your marriage with it. You don't know when it's going to happen. It could come at any time.
You could be in one of those antique stores when you're 50. You're going to be eyeing a walking stick. And Judy said, you don't need a stick. You say, yes, I do. I need it for this! So to my way of thinking, you need that motorcycle just to save your relationship.
We've been talking a lot about relationships. When we return, we'll talk with Christine about her views on the subject as One-on-One continues right after this.
I'm very impressed, Hayden. Writing wedding vows is something that a lot of men would not be comfortable doing.
Well, Christine keeps saying it's one of the reasons she fell in love with me, because I have this wonderful feminine side. I mean, I really have a pretty good masculine side, too. It's just that the longer I've known her, the smaller it gets.
With Hayden's wife, Christine Armstrong. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
You know, the one thing I have always heard asked is, how did Hayden Fox and Christine Armstrong ever get together?
Well, actually, it was at a very formal charity affair in Minneapolis. I was with the lieutenant governor that night.
And as usual, I was with Luther.
I just hate it when you drag me to these things.
But you quit complaining. You've been whining ever since we left home.
Well, look at me. You're like Engelbert Pumpernickel.
It's Humperdinck.
What is?
The guy's name. It's Engelbert Humperdinck, not Pumpernickel. Pumpernickel's bread.
Well, whatever. If you hadn't told me about this at the last minute, I could have got a black tux like everybody else.
Wait a minute. Who's that?
Who's who?
A woman over there. I think that's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen, Luther.
That's Mrs. Hubert Humphrey.
No, not her. The one on the left. The one who's my age.
It's Christine Armstrong.
Who's she?
Christine Armstrong, the newscaster on Channel 6. Geez, don't you ever watch TV?
Of course I watch TV. Don't watch the news. What if she's married? I'm gonna go find out.
I'm gonna go check out the crab claws.
I agree. It's a wonderful headline, but it never happened.
Hello. Hysterical story. I was laughing so hard, I thought stuff was going to come out of my nose. I meant that as a compliment. Hey, hi, I'm Hayden Fox.
Christine Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, I know. World famous Christine Armstrong. Everybody knows Christine Armstrong. You're a newscaster.
That's right.
I'm Hayden Fox.
I know. That's what you just said.
Yeah, listen, I don't come to these things very often, so I don't know what the proper etiquette is or anything, but I just want to tell you, I think you're about the sexiest woman I've ever seen in my whole life.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, come on. I can't be the first guy to ever tell you that.
You're the first guy to ever tell me that who wasn't working on a construction site.
I would take that as a compliment. You married?
Excuse me?
Well, I mean, I don't want to go fishing if the pond is empty.
Suddenly, I've become the sexiest trout you've ever seen.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. This is coming out all wrong. I mean, I didn't mean to offend you. Let me start all over. I'm Hayden Fox, and I just think you're an incredibly attractive woman.
Well, thank you.
And I was just wondering if we could go someplace and kiss or something.
Do you always come on to women this way?
No, of course not. But you're the first woman that's ever excited me so much to come up with all this great stuff.
Well, great as it is, I really think I should be getting back to my date.
Huh? Well, who's your date?
The lieutenant governor.
Wow. And you're still awake? I mean, are you guys serious about each other?
I wouldn't know. This is the first time we've ever been out. Now, please, I really have to get back.
Oh, wait a minute. Can I call you?
I don't even know you.
Oh, yeah, you do. I told you I'm Hayden Fox. I'm a football coach. And I mean, although it must seem like I live an incredibly full life, there is this huge void where you belong.
Look, this is all very charming in a sledgehammer sort of way.
Oh, look, I didn't mean to steamroll it. I didn't. But I'm an impatient guy. When I see something I want, I just go after it. And all I want to do is just call you.
Fine. I'm at Channel 6. I'm there every day. You can call the switchboard.
Oh, that's great. But I'm going to back off for now because I don't want to seem pushy or anything. Unless you like pushy. You like pushy?
I really have to go.
Now, listen, I haven't struck out here, have I? I mean, you don't hate me or anything, do you?
I don't hate you.
Yeah, I'm going to call you. You said I could call you.
You can call me.
Christine, I just want to tell you, that dress is driving me out of my mind.
So what finally won you over?
There was just something about him. It was totally emotional and completely irrational.
And how long before you two finally got married?
8 years.
Well, actually, that was my fault. I felt I wasn't really traditional marriage material, and things were going so great the way we were, I didn't want to change anything.
That must have taken an enormous amount of patience on your part.
Well, at one point, when I realized the relationship wasn't progressing, we broke up.
How'd you get back together again?
It was Christmas Eve. In fact, I was in the middle of a newscast, and he just showed up.
I'll be back with the weather for the vacationing Jess Gale, and sports for the vacationing Bob Clifton, and a commentary on behalf of the vacationing Howell Putnam.
We're clear.
Hayden, what in the world are you doing here?
I just wanted to wish you Merry Christmas, Christine.
You drove all the way to Minneapolis in a blizzard to tell me that?
No, I wanted to talk, too.
I'm in the middle of a broadcast right now.
Yeah, well, that's okay, Christine, because I'm pretty focused about what I want to say. Christine, I got this wonderful gift tonight. I found out from Beth that I'm not a marriage killer.
What are you getting at, Hayden?
Stand by.
Yeah, okay, well, see, what I'm getting at is 2 months ago, you were willing to spend the rest of your life with me, huh? And if I could commit to that, would you still have me? I mean, don't answer yet. Just let me make sure that we understand each other, okay? See, I am not a traditional guy, okay? I mean, see, I'm not going to be coming home at 5 o'clock for dinner every night.
That's good, because nobody would be there. Did you think I was going to be home every night cooking you dinner?
You won't be?
No.
Not ever?
I do the news 5 nights a week. I'm doing the news right now.
1 minute.
So what is your point, Hayden?
Hold on here, Christine. I'm still thinking about this dinner thing. Okay, well, see, well, marriage is a give-and-take thing. We can settle this later. I mean, look, the point is, if we were to get married, I wouldn't have to change who I am, right? I mean, nothing would change, right?
Well, of course something would change. Our relationship would change. Marriage would mean that we had committed to each other. That both of us had someone we could cherish and enjoy and count on for the rest of our lives.
That's all, right?
I think that's a lot.
Oh, it is. It is. But I'm sure I could do that.
You could?
Pretty sure. Yeah, pretty sure.
So what are you saying, Hayden?
5 seconds.
Damn, I'll be right back.
In 3, 2...
Hi, we're back. And now for a commercial.
We're clear. Christine, what the hell are you doing? We just had a commercial.
Just give me a minute here, Bill.
You've got 30 seconds.
So what is it you were saying?
Well, Christine, I know we're not going to be doing this right away, but... Christine, I love you. I love you more than anything else in the world. Will you marry me?
Are you really sure you want to do this? I mean, you're not just having a miserable time and trying to save your Christmas Eve, are you?
Christine, I love you. If I were to lose you, I'd hate myself forever. And I'm not going to lie. I'd pull my Christmas out of the crapper.
Yes, I will marry you.
Oh, boy!
Well, so far, we've learned about Hayden Fox, the coach, and Hayden Fox, the husband. And when we return, we're going to meet Kelly, your daughter, and learn about Hayden Fox, the father. Stay tuned, won't you?
Stuart, what is all this about, huh?
I don't want to come between you and Kelly. I just don't think there's any reason why we can't be friends. We're not as different as you seem to think.
You know what? Maybe you're right. I don't know. You may have a point there.
I mean, I know I'm more open with my feelings. And I know that you're more reserved. But I think that's just because I'm more in touch with my female side.
You're what?
Well, I believe that we all have male and female sides. In fact, I think that women are only 51% female and 49% male. Conversely, I think that men are 51% male and 49% female.
Well, Stu, I don't know what book you got that out of, but I think I'm in the high 90s, baby.
Hayden's daughter, Kelly Fox, is joining us now. And Kelly, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule in New York to fly and be here with us today. When you were 2 years old, Kelly, your parents divorced. And other than birthdays and holidays, you really didn't see much of your father until you enrolled at Minnesota State as a freshman. Was that a tough adjustment for you?
Yes. I felt like I really hadn't had a father for most of my life. So there was a part of me that really wanted one. And there was another part of me that resented him trying to be one after all these years.
Do you remember any one time when he made you particularly crazy?
I guess just any time that he treated me like a child.
Hello. Oh, hi, Arthur. Sure. He's calling from the car. He wants to talk to you.
Me?
But you want to talk to Kelly.
Hello? Just a second. Christine, can I stay here tomorrow night? He wants to take me out.
Wait. What do you mean he wants to take you out?
Christine, can I?
Sure.
Wait a minute.
Tomorrow night sounds great. I'll see you then. Okay. Can you believe this? I'm going out with Arthur Blackmore.
Well, hey, hold the car phone.
What?
Well, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this. I mean, where does he come off asking you out? I mean, we just met the guy. He's twice your age.
So what?
What do you mean, so what? Kelly, he's got a lot more experience than you do. I mean, this guy's been around the world, and if he's been around the world, that means he's been around the block.
Hayden, I've known Arthur for years. He's a very decent guy.
How decent can it be if he's hitting on my baby?
Baby?
You call him back and tell him your father said you can't go out.
You can't forbid me to go out with someone. I am an adult.
Not in this house.
This is insane. A minute ago, you thought he was one of the greatest guys in the world.
Yeah, well, maybe so, but you're not going out with him.
I am so going out with him. I'll go to bed with him if I want.
Christine, open a window. I'm going to jump out.
I'll open it. Which one?
Don't you dare to ever tell me you're going to bed.
I go to bed every night.
Why don't we call Dan Rather or Peter Jennings and you go out with them too? Or if they're too young for you, we'll call Walter Cronkite. Where the hell are you going?
I am going to pee. Am I old enough? Do I have your permission?
Sleeping around? Peeing? Where is she picking this stuff up?
And yet you two seem to have a pretty great relationship now.
I think we do.
No matter how mad I get at him, I know most of the crazy things he does out of love.
Remember where you got that bear?
Ohio State Fair, 1974. You won it for me?
Yeah. I remember you wanted that bear so bad. I was bound and determined to throw balls until I got it. I didn't care how much money I spent or how long it took.
I remember you were still knocking down bottles even as they were dismantling the rides.
Boy, we made history that year. You know, I've heard since then in carnivals all over the country that whenever some sucker spends $100 on a bear, it's called riding a Hayden. Cherish those times.
grew up so fast, Kelly. And there isn't a day that goes by that I don't beat myself up for not spending more time with you when you were a kid.
When it comes to the capacity for love, the man you have chosen as father of the year is equally remarkable. For although I only saw him sporadically when I was growing up, when we were finally reunited, I felt a rush of love so great it erased 16 years of absence. And it's a love that continues to grow without limits or conditions.
Well, now I wish I'd gone for the bigger bear.
And you still have that bear?
Oh, you bet I do. I've got it in storage with a whole bunch of junk from my childhood.
I don't want to interrupt things, but I think you have company.
Huh? Oh, jeez.
I think this might be a good time to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about friendship.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
No, I want an answer. You're saying that if you and I were the only two people left on Earth and there wasn't any food anywhere and you hadn't eaten in 6 weeks, you would be a little bit tempted to take a bite out of me?
No.
Well, I don't believe you. It was me. I'd eat you in a second.
It's getting a little crowded around here, but that's probably appropriate since the subject is friendship. You and Luther have known each other for almost 30 years now. What are the times you two look back on most fondly?
I don't know about Hayden, but what stands out in my mind is the first time we slept together.
It's not the way it sounds. We were at a coach's conference in Memphis, Tennessee.
Elvis's hometown.
Anyway, our reservations got screwed up, and we ended up having to share a room together.
Did you send up for a cot?
What?
Another bed. Where the hell am I going to sleep?
Gee, Shayden, I don't know where we're going to put a cot in this room.
Are you telling me that you and I are going to have to sleep in the same bed?
Shayden, you've known me for 20 years. I'm not going to try anything.
Oh, jeez, I'd rather sleep in the hall outside of Lou's place.
Well, don't blame me. I'm just trying to be nice.
Well, try harder.
Well, why don't what you're complaining about? I'm the guy giving up half a room.
All right, well, let's not go to bed mad. I've just had a rotten day, and I'm sorry.
Me too. Just seems like you're always taking it out of me because I'm the closest to you.
Look. Let's just both try and get some sleep, and maybe everything will look better in the morning, okay?
That's the spirit. If you think good thoughts, then good things will happen.
Yeah. Jeez, I can't believe this!
What's the matter now?
Well, I didn't pack my PJs!
I was going to save this. This for your birthday, but...
I don't see how anybody could fall asleep in this stuff.
Look, you're just feeling tired. Why don't you come on to bed?
Don't do that. Don't do it. OK. Okay, here's the deal. No one ever hears about this. We never say anything about it. I don't tell Christine, and you don't tell Dauber. It never happened.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Please, God, just don't let there be a fire.
I'll get it.
What do you mean you'll get it? What are we expecting, company?
Excuse me, is this the Universal Athletic Apparel Party?
Does this look like a party to you, pal?
No, this looks like a very private moment.
Dauber, your relationship with Hayden started as a player.
Yeah, we've been through a lot together. He's always been more to me than just a coach. Coach has always been a real friend.
God, geez, Dauber!
Coach, I'm really sorry to be bothering you this late, but something happened tonight and I really need some advice.
Well, couldn't it wait until morning?
The way I'm feeling now, I'm not sure there will be a morning.
Hayden, who is... Oh, hi, Dauber. Gee, I thought maybe it was Luther.
Yeah, that's who you'd expect. What is it, Dob?
I broke a date with Judy tonight to have dinner with Charlie and his mom. This is hard.
Would you like me to put on some coffee?
Don't heat up anything.
Anyway, Charlie's mom and I were talking about how hard her life is, and she started crying, and I tried to make her feel better. I kissed her.
And did it make her feel better?
Hayden, I don't think that's the problem.
I've never done anything like this before. You know, ever since Judy and I started dating, I've been totally loyal. Even before we started dating, I was totally loyal.
Dauber, do you have feelings for this woman?
Oh, no. No, it was an accident. I told her that. She knows.
Well, I hate to rush this gut-wrenching moment, but exactly what the hell's the problem?
I feel guilty. I feel like I should tell Judy, but I don't know if she'll understand. It didn't mean anything.
Oh, Dauber, I know Judy. She's a bright, decent, compassionate woman. If you tell her it didn't mean anything, she'll believe that.
Here's another perspective. I know women. Bury it. Bury it with a shovel and then bury the shovel.
If their relationship is based on trust, then he should be honest.
If their relationship is like most relationships, then bury it. Bury it. Bury it with a shovel and then bury the shovel.
We'll talk about this later. Dauber, if this kiss didn't mean anything to you, then you don't have to feel guilty.
Oh, it didn't mean anything. I was set up. Charlie wants me to be his dad.
I see. Look, Dauber, nobody can tell you whether or not you should say anything to Judy. That's really up to you. I know what I would do in this situation. If this little boy thinks you're going to be his father, then you do have to talk to him.
Well, I guess I knew that's what I had to do all along.
Well, that makes this whole evening easier to take.
Hey, thanks again, guys. I'm going to talk to Charlie first thing in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Sure, the kid gets to sleep.
I'm sorry again for waking you guys up. You're good friends.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
You really weren't very giving to him tonight.
Do you know how sick I am of people coming over here at all hours asking us to solve their problems? My robe just barely covering my butt as I rush to the door. I tell you, Christine, I have had it.
It doesn't happen all that often.
Oh, it happens all the time.
It does not.
Luther, shut up and go away.
Okay.
So, Luther, what do you think has kept the two of you together all these years?
For me, Hayden's always been the one I could count on. I mean, whenever there's been a crisis in my life, and God knows there's been a few, Hayden's always been the one I could turn to.
Hayden, you're closer to me than probably anybody in the whole world. And you're the only man I've ever been able to look straight in the eye and say I love you. Okay, you don't have to say it back. That's not what this is all about. Even though it wouldn't kill you once in a while. Okay, all right, okay. This morning I made out a will. And I'd appreciate it if you'd be my executioner.
I'd love to, Luther, I mean that.
Thanks. There's one of the things I think I should warn you about in the will is something I feel very strongly about. Maybe we better sit down. If at some point I become decapacitated, you know, and I'm being kept alive by superficial means, like I'm on a perspirator or something. Please, Hayden, please don't let him pull the plug.
What?
I don't care if you have to put me on battery packs. Please don't let him pull me.
Luther?
No, I mean it, Hayden. I mean it. I don't care what it costs. Freeze me. I mean, put me in a Ziploc bag and stick me next to your stacks. But don't call it quits. I want to live.
Okay.
Swear to me. Swear you won't let me die. Swear you won't let me
die. Hey, I'll hook you up to the cigarette lighter in my car if I have to.
Oh, God. Do you swear?
Yeah, I promise. You can sit next to me. We'll ride in the carpool lane together. It'll be great.
Oh, I don't think I've ever loved you more than I do right now.
I'm going to the meeting.
One more thing. Just in case you screw up and I die, you're going to need this. This is my death box.
Death box?
Yeah, it's like a tackle box, only put death stuff in there. A lot of guys my age have them, just for your special papers, important documents.
Geez, Luth, hey, I'm sorry I was joking around there. I didn't know you were this serious about all this.
Yeah, man, death box makes it easier for those that you leave behind. Remember my friend Art Hipke?
Oh, no.
He's got one. Appreciate it if you keep mine.
Yeah, sure, fine. I'll keep it for you.
Well, you gotta promise me. You promise me you won't look until I'm gone.
Hey, if that's the way you want it and you don't want me to look, I'm not gonna look.
That right there is why I love you.
Come on, let's go to the meeting.
Just can't say it back, can you?
When we come back, I have a final question for Hayden Fox. Please stay tuned.
What would you say if you found out that one of our players is gay?
What do you mean? How do you mean gay? Like, you know, when men would rather be like gay?
Yes, Luther, a homosexual.
I don't call it that.
So you'd have a problem with that?
Well, no, I don't know. Not, I wouldn't personally have a problem. Well, you know, I don't know what people do in the privacy of their. I just don't think that on the. on the football field is the place, you know, where, you know, with where they should be, you know, with regular sexuals. I guess I'd have a kind of a problem with it.
How about you, Darver?
Didn't bother me when I was a player. Why would it bother me now?
What do you mean it didn't bother you as a player? You played here for me.
Oh, yeah. There were a couple of gay players in the years when I played.
No, there weren't.
Oh. Yeah, there were.
No, there weren't.
No, there weren't. Coach, I'm telling you, I know for a fact.
No. You are telling me that there have been gay screaming eagles?
I want to thank all of you for joining us for this retrospective of Hayden's career and life. You know, Hayden, I started the interview tonight by asking you if you could sum up your philosophy. But now I want to ask you a more difficult question. If you could sum up your whole life, how would you describe it?
No, that's pretty hard. My life's so complicated. Well, some days I wake up happy, and then some days I wake up and all I want to do is shout.
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout. Come on now, shout. Don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on.
Say you will.
Say that you will.
Say you will.
Say that you love me.
Say
I still remember when you used to be 9 years old. Yeah, I was a fool for you from the bottom of my soul. Yeah. Now that you're grown enough and old enough to know, yeah, you wanna leave me, you wanna let me go. I want you to know. You know you make me wanna shout. Lift my head up and shout. Throw my hands back and shout. Come on now,
shout.
Come on now,
shout.
Come on now,
shout.
Come on now,
shout.
Take it easy,
shout.
Take it easy,
shout.
Take it easy,
shout.
Take it easy,
shout.
A little bit softer now,
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 shout.
A little bit softer.
Shout
a little bit softer now.
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 Shout
a little bit louder 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 now.
Shout
hey 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 hey
stupid Mary Hart. Jeez. Joan Tesh never lost that position. Sure. Yeah. I don't need to be out here. Get Dauber to do this. Dauber!